Bibles this morning, turn to our theme verse for the year, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 will be in verses 5 and 6. These two verses are just packed full of truths, and really they're packed full of truths if we were to take each little segment of it, pull it out, and we could teach and preach on a lot of major Bible themes, and that's my intention this year, is to pull some of those phrases out and preach some of those topics based upon this particular verse of Scripture. For most Christians, most children of God who have been in church very long, you've heard these two verses, and we'll find them again in Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Solomon says this, he says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Trust in the Lord, trust in him. And truly, we as born-again believers ought to put our trust in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning. What a blessing the music's been to my heart. I pray, Lord, that you would make these truths clear and your Holy Spirit would give understanding. I pray you'd help my thoughts and the things that I've studied and the things I've learned. Lord, I would apply these to my heart as well, and I pray, Lord, that you'd bless as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. The greatest comfort that we can realize, the greatest comfort that we can realize in our lives is the comfort that comes from Jesus Christ. The greatest peace we can experience is given freely to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. I was with somebody just Friday who asked the question, a couple of questions, and then he said, "I'm just looking for peace." And then he gave me an example of someone else and one of his clients that he said, and this man was looking for peace. They have money, they have nice homes, but peace? Not real peace. Again, the greatest peace we can experience is given, by the way, it's given freely by the Lord Jesus Christ. Our greatest hope for a happy and joyful life is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must put our trust in him. We must put our trust in him. We must put our faith in him and our confidence in Jesus Christ. Some put their confidence, some put their trust in a job. No, I know people like that. I know from time to time, all of us have done that. Don't be come on, all of us from time to time. Put a little too much trust in our jobs and then you lose it. Sometimes we've seen people put trust in their family. And I'm telling you, a family sometimes will let you down. I was thinking about when it comes to jobs, I was right out of high school, I was working in the oil field as a pumper's helper, really kind of a pumper's helper, roustabout hand, doing a little bit of everything. And I went to my boss when I was graduating and said, "Hey, I'm fixing to go to college, and you know, you're still going to be able to work me. I'm going to be driving from Bowie into Fort Worth and back every day. I'll be back around noon every day. We don't have school on Mondays, so I'll be able to work all day Monday. Will you be able to keep me on full time?" And he assured me that my job was fine, that I was going to be great. He would work with me. I could work after I got back, and I could work till whenever I wanted to in the evenings. And that went along for about 4 weeks. About that same time, my truck that I had wasn't all that great for the job I was doing. So I bought a new to me Toyota little truck, 1984, with that R22 motor in it. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. One of the best trucks ever built. Small truck, but baby truck. But I bought that. My papa financed it. My dad's dad financed it for me, $3,000. No interest financing from my papa. I was 18 years old. And 4 weeks into that, my boss, I show up on a Monday morning, and he said, "Well, after today, I no longer need you." I said, I didn't say this, but I wanted to. "So you just told me my job was okay, that I was fine." And no, it wasn't. And I remember calling my dad and saying, "Dad, I just lost my job. And I got a wife and going to Bible college." And, you know, and I'm thankful for a dad who encouraged me and let me, you know, cry on his shoulder a little bit. But you can't put your confidence in a job. You can't put your confidence in a job. Again, some put their trust and put their confidence in family. And I'm telling you, in marriages and kids, everybody at some point is going to disappoint you. At some point, every person, because they're human beings, are going to fail you. Some put their trust in their money until 2008 comes and you find that, oh, money ain't as valuable as it used to be, or whatever the case is. My retirement's now half of what it used to be. Some put their trust in things. But people's trust can be so misplaced. And all of us in this room have experienced being let down by things or persons we put our trust in. All of us in this room at some point, if you're a real human being, which I think everybody in the room is, all of us have been hurt by someone who failed us. Maybe, again, a spouse, one of your children, a boss, a neighbor, maybe your pastor. Maybe I have let you down at some point. All of us are going to let people down. Again, we're putting our trust in the wrong people. We're putting our trust in the wrong thing. Every one of us have felt the sting of trust that has been broken. But I tell you what, we can put our trust in one that will never let us down. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. He will never let you down. I think about, again, a child's trust. When you bring a child into the world and it's natural for them to trust their mama and dad, it is so cool, isn't it? Especially for us dads. It is a cool thing for our kids to trust us, like implicitly trust us. When they're 5 or 6 years old, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years old, it's fun. It's so much fun to take them as a dad and toss them in the air and catch them, toss them in the air. And they just, not most of them, not all kids, are not. Some of them are a little different. They trust dad, but they don't want to be thrown in the air. But my kids all like to be thrown in the air. Throw them in the air. Throw them, catch them. And you throw them in the air, and they hit a ceiling fan. Yeah, that happened. That's why Josh the way he is.
Yeah.
But the kids are so trusting, aren't they? You know, you're teaching them how to swim, and you tell them to jump out into the pond or jump out into the pool, wherever you're training. They jump right out. Most of the time, they may give you a little hesitation, but eventually they jump out in. It's amazing, that childlike trust. And that's the childlike trust that we should have in the Lord. That childlike trust, that faith, that childlike faith that we put our trust in Him. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. And we'll begin to define these terms as we go along this year, but trust essentially and belief are essentially the same words, are almost synonyms. Trusting in the Lord or believing in the Lord, essentially the same word. Faith, all three of these words are kind of wrapped together, and essentially you have one and you also have the other. Belief is, I believe, again, I illustrated this Sunday night and I jumped on the chair down here. Believe is, I believe that chair will hold me up. Faith is acting upon the belief. Belief is saying, I trust the chair will hold me, and faith is jumping on the chair. You can say you believe that chair will hold you all you want, and you can say, I'll trust that chair to hold me up, but until you act upon it, that's not faith. But both are required in order to come to the Lord for salvation. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I trust Him, and then I put my faith in Him. I act upon that belief. I act upon that trust in Him. I turn from all other sources of salvation. I turn from baptism to get me to heaven, or I turn from being a church member to get me to heaven, or I turn from the ideal that my works get me to heaven, or I turn from the ideal that being a Baptist gets me to heaven, or I turn from whatever it is, and I turn to Jesus Christ because I put my trust in Him. I believe Him, and therefore I put my faith in Him. Faith in Him. trust in him. Faith, again, is acting upon that trust or that belief. You only truly believe what you practice. We've said this many, many times. You can say, I believe this or I believe that, but until you act upon it, you really don't believe it. You really are not putting your trust in it. Number one, we think about in this particular scripture, it says, trust in the Lord. We ought to trust him entirely. Trust him in everything. We've preached on this particular scripture 3 or 4 times over the last 20 years. As we think about this verse again, we are to trust him entirely. We trust him because of what? Who and what he is. And of course, as it trickles down, we trust him for what he's done as well. But we really trust him for who he is and for all that he is and for what he is. In other words, he is the all-powerful creator of the universe. If he's the all-powerful creator of the universe, then we ought to trust him. We should be able to trust him. Again, we think about the miracles that Christ performed while he was here on earth and raising the dead and healing the sick and healing the blind. We think about him there on the Sea of Galilee, that lake of Gennesaret, and on that lake as he sent the disciples across to the other side, that there he came to them in the middle of the night. The storm was blowing in the boat, and they were tossing stuff out of the boat trying to save themselves, and Jesus came to them on the water. And he said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." The disciples thought it was a ghost, an apparition of some sort, and he said, it's me. Peter said, what? Lord, if it's you, let me come out on the water with you. And Peter stepped out and walked a little ways and began to sink because he got his eyes off the Lord. Just remind you over and over and over again, keep your eyes on the Lord. Focus on him. Jesus got back in the boat. Peace be still. The waters, slick as all get out. None of this, still... You know how when you're trying to stop a bowl of water from, whatever, and you stop it, but it's still doing that? It didn't even do that. It just, I love being in a boat on slick water because you can go a lot faster. It's fun. Slick water. And then the Bible says that immediately they were to the other side. He had control over the wind. He had control over the waves. He had control over time, space. Jesus Christ, while on earth, was God. He didn't set aside his deity when he was on earth. No. He still had all power. He had all power of heaven and earth at his disposal. We know from other miracles he performed that he was also in control and in power of the fishes. Just amazing, isn't it? The disciples and the apostles, as they witnessed this, they said, Lord, God, and they would fall down on their face humbly before him. And sometimes they repented their sins and said, Lord, never knew, just never comprehended who was before us. It's amazing. We ought to trust him for who he is, because of who he is. And then we ought to trust him for his person and his work. In other words, we think about the God of all the universe who created heaven and earth, yet humbled himself and became a man, became as one of us, that he might sacrifice his life for us, that he might shed his blood for us, that he might give his life for us, that we might have eternal life. Understand, he who was rich became poor. Understand that the Creator became part of his creation. Imagine how humble he had to be. Imagine how he had to condescend to man. Imagine that. And yet he did. Why? Because he loves us. He loved us. He loved us before we ever loved him. And Jesus Christ came again, born in Bethlehem, lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years, never one time performing a sinful deed, never one time having a sinful thought. He was sinless in desire. He was sinless in disposition. He was sinless indeed. And yet, he went to the cross for our sins. He died in our place. He took upon him the sins of the world. He took the wrath of God upon sin upon himself. He paid for our sin debt. He paid the price for our sin. They buried him, put him in a tomb. But the tomb could not hold him because he had no sins of his own. And after he had paid for our sins in full, he rose again from the dead on the third day. And now, the Bible says, he sits at the right hand of the throne of God. We trust him because of what he did for us. The sacrifice he made for us. We owe him. He gave all for us. And our trust should be in him. As you think about different kinds of trusts, again, kids' trust of their parents kind of comes naturally. Some trust, and trust is also earned, right? In a relationship, trust is earned. But trust with the Lord is by faith. And it's also, we understand that we can experience and God can bless us and he can continue, our trust can grow in him. But I'm telling you, that initial trust is by faith. We know historically that Jesus Christ lived. It can be proven historically that he lived. We know that without a doubt. Historians have proved it. We know by history that he died, no doubt, that he was put on a cross by the Romans. But the difference between believing and knowing that he did live and that he did die is faith that he rose again from the dead. That takes faith. That's a different kind of trust, isn't it? That faith is only given to us by the Holy Spirit. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And I need to move on. This means, again, we ought to trust him not entirely. We ought to trust him with everything we have. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus said to those lawyers, he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. We know that's a repetition of what was given to us in the Old Testament. Loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And listen, we ought to trust him with all that we have. All of our heart, that collective input of our mind, our will and our emotions. The heart is the mind, the will and the emotions. The heart is what I'm thinking. Again, my reasoning aspect of my brain. The heart is our feelings, that passion we have. Our heart is our wanting. Again, our mind, our will and our emotions. Everything about us, everything that we are, ought to love the Lord. And that heart should trust him. Trust him with all thy heart. Trust him entirely. Who sits on the throne of your heart? Who sits on the throne of our heart? It's important. Set your affections on things above. Seek those things which are above. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Focus on him. The one thing. Amen? Steward your life for him. Yield to him because you trust him. We ought to trust him for eternal matters. Are you saved this morning? We've already given the gospel out, but again, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe, put your trust in the Lord and you'll be rescued from the wrath of God placed upon your sins, my sins. We're selfish by nature because we are selfish by nature, because we are born selfish. The Bible says the wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life. In order to escape hell and have a home in heaven, you must place your trust in Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Jesus said himself, this is not my words, this is Jesus' words. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way to escape hell and have a home in heaven is through Jesus Christ. Romans 10 says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We always skip over the next verse, but it says, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. I'm thankful God's no respecter of persons. no matter your social status, no matter your economic status, no matter your ethnicity, God loves you. He died for you, gave his life for you, and all can be saved. All can be rescued from the wrath of God. All can be saved from the penalty of sin. Because again, the next verse says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everybody can be saved. He died for all. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He didn't die just for the elect. He died for all. He died for everyone, and again, rose again from the dead. We put our trust in him for eternal matters. Have you put your trust in him? And then, Christian, this morning, you put your trust in him in daily matters. It's one thing to put your trust in him for salvation, but also to put your trust in him for your life, to yield your life to him, entirely to him, all things to him. Matthew 11, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So many of us, we have a tendency to get into the yoke that is not the Lord Jesus Christ's yoke. All right, so you think about two oxen. They have the yoke that's strapped on them. They're pulling a burden, right? They're pulling a burden. And what the Lord is illustrating is that he's on one side of the yoke and you should get in the other. And if we'll pull together, then if we're in his yoke, then that burden is easy. That burden is light. The problem is many times we don't get in that yoke. We get in our own yoke or somebody else's yoke. And then the burden is so heavy. I want to be in the yoke with Jesus, don't you? And that's by yielding my life to him. Whatever he chooses for me, I yield my life to him. I trust him with my life. 1 Peter 5:7, Peter says, cast all your care upon him, the Lord, because he careth for you. We come to God, we come to the Lord humbly and broken with a contrite spirit, and he will lift our burden. We put our trust in him and he will lift our burden. Nobody can lift a burden like Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've carried many burdens around for a long time. And then when I finally do submit and bring it to the altar, I finally submit and bring it to the Lord in my daily time with him, my daily devotional time with him, man, the weight's just lifted. It's amazing, isn't it? Trust in him. Trusting is the key. Why? Because God's dependable. He cannot lie. He never makes a mistake. He has no ulterior motives. People sometimes enter your life and you go to them for advice, or you go to them and they'll have ulterior motives in mind. Well, if he does that or she does that, then that means that it'll benefit me. God never has ulterior motives in mind. You can trust him. You can trust him. He's never unkind. He loves you unconditionally. He always, always, always has your best interest in mind. Always. Right? Just like you have your kids' best interest in mind. Sometimes that requires discipline, but you still have their best interest in mind. Sometimes that is about giving them things and doing things for them, but you always have their best interest in mind, and God has your best interest in mind. You can, and I can trust him. As believers, he expects us to trust him. He expects us to trust him. We ought to trust him for everything. Job said this. Job lost everything. Go read the book of Job. He lost everything. Lost his kids, 10 kids. Lost his wife. His wife said, Job, won't you just curse God and die? And Job said this. He said, though he slay me. In other words, though God slay me, though God take my life, he said, I will trust in him. How can that be, Job? How can you have that kind of attitude? How can you have that kind of trust? He trusted God. He trusted the one who created the universe. He trusted the one who created all things. He trusted him. We ought to have that kind of trust. And then, not only should we trust him entirely, we should trust him exclusively. Be careful where you lean. That was a sermon I preached years ago on this particular verse. Be careful where you lean. It's very important the way in which you lean, right? If there's wet paint, you don't want to lean on it. Trust in him, nothing else and no one else. Be careful where you lean. To lean or trust in one's own abilities spells defeat and disaster.
Philippians 3:3, Paul said, I have no confidence in the flesh. The world teaches us to be dependent upon self. The world teaches us that we can be a better you. You can be a better self. Humanism reigns in our world today. In the age in which we live, the world system in which we live, it's all about puffing up self. Can I tell you, Paul said, I have no confidence in the flesh. Well, you better not have confidence in yourself. Trust in him.
Trust in him. I don't mean you. By confidence in self, I mean confidence in self when it comes to things in your life. When it comes to troubles and disasters and detours and all the things that we face in life. You better not place your confidence in yourself, in human reasoning to get you out of that situation. You better go to God with it. And that's the next point. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him.
Confidence in him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him.
And I've got to hurry. So think about this illustration. Moses.
Moses, raised in Egypt, attended the best schools of Egypt. By the way, if you attended the best schools in Egypt, you attended the best schools in the world. Because Egypt was the world power. 40 years raised, if you would, in Pharaoh's home. I know, again, as a little boy, he was raised in his mom's home. Left Egypt, away for 40 years, and God sent him back to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. He goes back to Egypt. He delivers them. Here's 1 to 3 million Jews following him out of Egypt. And they come to the Red Sea, and the Pharaoh's army is behind them, and the Red Sea is in front of them, and the Jews began to cry and complain and say, you brought us out here to get us killed. And Moses goes to the Lord and says, Lord, you know, basically I'm summarizing, what are we doing? And God tells Moses, you see that rod in your hand? Trust in me. Trust in me. Human reasoning, logic, human wisdom would say the most powerful army in the world is behind us. There's a mile of water in front of us. There is no way out of this. Have any of y'all ever been there? I have a few times in my life when things come into my life and I say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Sometimes he puts us there so we will trust him. Some of the little stuff we try to figure out and whatever, but then when the big stuff comes, we should come to him in the little stuff and the big stuff and everything, entirely come to him, trust him in everything. But sometimes he puts us in those situations so that we will humble ourselves. And Moses did. Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And you know the rest of the story. Moses, but I want to read that. He says to the children of Israel, stand still and see the salvation of Moses. Not what he said. Stand still and see the salvation of human reasoning and human logic. Not what he said. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Of the Lord. He gave God acknowledgement. Lord, I need you. We need you. Lord, the only way we're getting out of this, the only way this getting out of this impossible situation is that God makes a way where there is no way. We can trust him. We can trust him, and God parted the waters. Isn't it amazing? And 1 to 3 million Jews walked across on dry ground. It would have taken all night, by the way. All night. In the morning, they were all on the other side, and they looked back. 1 mile away, they could see the Pharaoh's army as they began to come into that dry ground between the two walls of water. And the Bible says that God sent the water upon the armies of Pharaoh and upon Pharaoh, and they all died. And I don't care what Hollywood says, Pharaoh died in the Red Sea. Charlton Heston movie shows that the Pharaoh lived, but he didn't. He deader than a doornail. the enemies of God defeated. God made a way where there is no way. You can trust him in everything. You can trust him exclusively. Don't lean on other things. Lean on him. You can confidently, simple dependence upon him, trust him. And the results of that is what? In all thy ways. Notice what it says. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And what? He shall direct thy paths. As we trust him with all of our heart, as we lean on his wisdom and we lean on his word and we lean on his understanding, we acknowledge him. We give him credit. Moses gave him credit. He didn't say, lean on me. Daniel did not say, well, you know, I could interpret this dream for you. No, he said, the Lord will do it. Joseph said, hey, I can't interpret this dream. The Lord will do it. David, when he went against Goliath, didn't say, here I am with this sling. I'm going to kill you, Goliath. No, he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. And he ascribed credit to God. And God rewarded him. We need to be a thankful people. We need to be thankful. Acknowledging, giving God credit. Giving God credit for what he does for us, for the blessings he gives to us. Trust him entirely with all your heart and in everything. By the way, Proverbs 28 says, he that trusteth his own heart is a fool. Proverbs 28, verse 20, if you want to look that up. Trust him exclusively. Don't forget to give him credit, thanking him, and then he'll direct you. You want to know the will of God for your life? You want to know the path in which God would have for you? Humble yourself before him. Trust him. Give him credit for the things he's doing for you. Have you trusted him for eternal life? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And Christian, we ought to trust him for daily matters. Others will fail you. Self will fail you. But he will never fail you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. What a wonderful, wonderful verse. Let's all stand with a verse invitation. We're going to sing hymn 534, Cleanse Me. Cleanse Me, after we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful verse of Scripture. And Lord, I pray that we would, as Christians, trust in you for our daily lives and yield our lives to you, putting our confidence in you, knowing that you will never fail us. And Lord, if there's someone here, either here in the auditorium or watching this morning by way of the internet, I pray, God, that you would, your Holy Spirit would give them courage, and Lord, that their Holy Spirit would give them understanding of the gospel, that they would put their trust in you alone for eternal life. Lord, we thank you that we can trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.